And we're going to continue what is our series of Through a Glass Darkly, that concept of based on 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where it says, now we see through a glass darkly, but then we're going to be seeing face to face. In other words, we're living in the now, but there's a then, and we might not understand everything now. We might not be able to see it clearly now, but there's a then that's a coming. But for right now, we're in that tension between the now and the then. So what I'd like to do is kind of look at, using that paradigm, look at this time God in the valleys. Because there's a lot of the whole mountaintop valley experience in the Bible. It's literary, it's figurative, and it can be used in a lot of different ways, and ones that we could really relate to. Because when you're on the mountaintop, I mean, everybody knows what that expression is. Everything's good, you know, mama's good looking, the cotton's high, everybody's happy, mountaintop experience, you know. You're on a mountaintop, and it's really easy to believe that God is with you. Whenever you get really good news, when you get that pay raise, when the baby sleeps through the night for the first time, it's really easy to feel the power and presence of God. When you get that parking spot at the mall, I mean, kind of mountaintop experience. But in our life also, we also have these valleys in our lives too, when things aren't quite so good, when you don't feel the presence of God, when you can't see the horizon, when things aren't going the way you want to, when you get bad news, when you're hurting and maybe you feel a little bit alone, when you're worried, when you're afraid, or maybe you're going through depression. And we all have those times, those moments that we live where it's kind of very much like a valley. You're not on the mountaintop anymore. Seasons and spots in your life where things are really good, and then seasons and spots in your life where things are not really good. And sometimes it seems like the two coexist at the same time. I mean, it's like having pockets on your coat where you got something really heavy in one of your pocket and your coat, and it's really weighing you down, but maybe not on the other side of your life, where maybe your marriage is blessed, but your kids are acting crazy and they're making stupid decisions and it hurts so much. Or maybe it's the exact opposite. Your kids are doing great, but maybe your marriage is hurting and the intimacy's gone or something. I don't know. Or maybe you love, you love God, you can feel his power, you can feel his presence, but at the same time you're kind of worried that you're going to lose your job. Or maybe you're so excited about getting together with family and friends, but you're dealing with some bad medical diagnosis or something like that. These two things kind of coexist, the mountaintop and the valley experience, all at the same time. But what I'd like to focus on today is, where is God in those valleys? And valleys are interesting in the Bible, because you'll see in the Bible that many times valleys is where the battles will take place. Over in 1 Samuel chapter 17, it was in the valley of Elah that David fought Goliath, and Elah translates to oak trees. So I imagine this is a valley based on just the beauty of the oak trees. It's like kind of down at St. Simon's, traveling down that avenue of oaks. Really beautiful, but something can be beautiful and you can be in a battle at the same time, right? And David faced down Goliath in the valley of Elah. And sometimes valleys are like seasons of desperation in your life, like David traveled through the valley of the shadow of death, the most known psalm in all of the Bible. Though I traveled through the valley of the shadow of death, I walked through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That's kind of a lonely, desperate time in David's life. So we see valleys in the Bible like that. There's several of them. There was the valley of Belcor, and then there's several other battles that kind of fall into that genre of desperation and hopelessness. And then sometimes it's the valleys of need, like the valley of ditches that you see over in 2 Kings chapter 3, where Israel and Judah fought against the Moabites, and they had traveled in the desert, and they couldn't find any water for 7 days, and they're all about to thirst to death. And what happens is the prophet Elijah, they send word to the prophet Elijah, and he says, well, just go ahead and dig some ditches, which doesn't really make any sense when there's no clouds on the horizon, but they did it. But valleys can be indicative of several different things in the Bible. What I'd kind of like to focus on today is the valleys are also, for us that follow Christ, times of growth. And you can enjoy God in the mountaintops, but like what we talked about last week, is you really get to know God intimately in the times of trouble when the storms come, and you get to know him intimately in the valleys, because we can enjoy God on the mountaintops, but we're going to know Him best when we go through the valleys. We can know Him and enjoy Him when times are really good, but we're going to get to know Him in a completely different way when we're in the valleys, in the low points of our lives. So what I want to do today is kind of look at a text from the Old Testament, Psalm 84, and if you've ever read it, that's going to be good. And if you've done it like I did it, you kind of properly blew through the section that we're going to be looking at today. But we're going to look at Psalm 84, verses 5 through 7. And hopefully, I hope that those will be some fresh insight for you, because it was to me. We'll start with verse 5, and we're going to see where God is in the valleys of our lives. This is what the psalmist said. So if you've got a Bible, pull it out. If you don't have one, use a pew Bible or whip it up on your phone, because I think you're going to be able to see some things that perhaps you haven't seen before. Psalm 84, verse 5, "Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them who are passing through the valley of Baca. Make a well, the rain also filleth the pools, and they go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God." So the valley that we're talking about today, not necessarily a valley of desperation or a valley of, this is a valley of Baca. So that kind of begs the question, like what is the valley of Baca? And Baca, so you know, was related to a tree, and it's a particular kind of tree too. I'm not sure exactly the genus of it, but it's a tree that oozes its sap on the outside so that the tree literally looks like it's like crying. And many times in the Bible, this particular place, it's been called the Valley of Tears and the Valley of Weeping. So this particular valley, the Valley of Baca, seems to be one of those valleys where it's a valley of pain for us. Anybody going through something like that right now? Something's hurting you? Well, let me tell you something. This particular passage is going to be good, because it's called the Valley of Tears, the Valley of Weeping, the Valley of Loss. And anytime you see a valley in the Bible, there will be times when you got to be kind of like, okay, valleys can be good things, but valleys can be dangerous things too. Because in the Old Testament, when we didn't have paved roads, what would happen is the valley is the easiest way to travel. So it was a well-traveled, you know, roads went through the valleys. But that also meant a lot of danger too, because that's where the highwaymen and the robbers and the thieves would hang out to pounce on you. So it's a moment of danger for you in the Bible. It's very difficult to get through a Bible. And this is why the psalmist says in verse 5, follow me with this one. "Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee." You know, we talk about the passage over in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, where I have access by faith, I have access to the grace wherein I stand. It is possible for children of God to be standing positionally in God's grace and not accessing it. We now have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand. So we can be accessing it and standing in grace, or we can be not accessing it, and still we will be standing in God's grace. My prayer for every one of you and everyone in our listening audience is that we access by faith the grace that God has us, because it is possible for us to enjoy heaven's riches today and to know God's peace today. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. Why does David say that about the man who's traveling in the valley of Baca? That valley that's kind of emblematic of times of pain in our life. The weeping trees. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. I was hearing someone speak not too long ago, and he gave an illustration that just kind of spoke to my soul. And I think anybody that has been in a workout program at the gym will understand this. It happened to me too, and I know it's probably happened to a couple of y'all. So if you really want to do like good weight gain and muscle growth, you got to mix it up sometimes. And one day will be like heavy weight. But in order to kind of counterbalance that, if you really want to shock your muscle system and have maximum muscle growth, sometimes you don't do heavy weight. Sometimes you do really lightweight a whole bunch of times. Or sometimes you'll mix it up, and like this experience, where you do some heavy weight, and then, you know, like you'll do 205, and then you'll do 175, and then you do 145, and then you knock it down to where you get to just the bar. And here's the way the workout works. And if you've never done it, I really encourage you to. But let me just tell you something. You're going to be in a valley of tears when this is done. You get down to where you're just doing the bar. And say, you know, the bar, just the bar at the regular gym is only 45 pounds. But if you do that 50 times nonstop, your muscles will be screaming. And so what happens is you're at the gym and you're doing, and you know, you're not doing this to look impressive, because it doesn't look impressive for you to be doing just the bar. And you can count all you want to, and it still looks unimpressive. What happens is, and this happened to me too, so I asked this dude, and we'll call him Bob because he knows I'm a pastor, and I don't know if he was watching our website. But I'm like, hey man, I'm going to be doing a lot of reps. Could you just kind of watch me, and kind of when I start to slow up, just spot me because I want to finish it. And so what happens is, you know, crank out the 10, I'm hitting 20, I'm starting to hurt 30, and then I get to like 38, and my arms just give out. But there's Bob. And Bob steps up, and Bob, you know how you spot. Bob's like, yeah, you can do it, man. Come on, push, push. And you're just like with the bar going, like that. And people are judging you, and they're looking at you, and you're able to crank out 39. But then by about 43, it's all you. And it's not all me. As a matter of fact, it's not me at all. It's all Bob. And Bob is not only lifting the bar, Bob doesn't know it because he's like, it's all you, come on. Bob's not only lifting the bar, Bob's lifting my arms too. Here's the good news for people that are accessing by faith the grace wherein they stand. You have a strength that is greater than Bob. Because the Bible says that his strength is made perfect in your weakness. When you can't push anymore, you have a power that pulls you. When you can't make it anymore, there is a power, and it's the power of God through Christ that is active in your life. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, not in himself. And I tell you, this is a particular problem in the United States because we have such a spirit of independence. We don't want to be dependent on anybody. We don't want to rely on anybody. But here's the thing. The text doesn't say, blessed are they who make it on their own. Blessed are they who, it doesn't say, blessed are they who pull themselves up by the bootstraps. It doesn't say, blessed are those who are really determined. And this spirit of independence that we have, especially in the United States, where we can just make it on our own, I'm telling you, man, that idea of I don't need anybody. I don't mind, you know, losing friends. That's okay. I can do it completely on my own. I don't need to trust people. They hurt me. I don't need anybody, and I don't particularly need God. I mean, that spirit of independence is a bad spirit. Because we were made to be dependent, not only and have connection, not only with God, but for one another. So blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, who's not trying to do it on their own, pull themselves up by their own bootstraps. And some of you might need to lean into this, and you just need to admit it. I don't have what it takes. I need God's presence in my life. Blessed is the person who realizes that, who finds their strength in thee, not in themselves. This is what the Bible says about you. Your righteousness is as filthy rags. You can't do it on your own. There is none righteous, no, not one. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. And that ties into the verse 7. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion. So blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and in whose heart are the ways of them. The people that are going to Zion, to Jerusalem, one of the cities of refuge, as David says. Okay, so blessed is a man whose strength is in the Lord, and in whose heart are the ways of them. So right now, today I could be in the Valley of Baca. But my heart, my heart's not in Baca. My heart is in the way of them. Another translation appropriately also translates it, whose minds are set on the pilgrimage to Zion. In whose heart, the deepest core of their being, are in the ways of them. So blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. He's not relying on himself, but also in whose heart are the ways of them. I can be in a prison and still be the freest person I know. Blessed is that man. This is what the Apostle Paul said, you know, because sometimes to get to where you really appreciate the presence and the power of God, you have to push through the pain to get to that goodness. And for so many of us, the valley is a pathway where we can find God and know God intimately as we push through the valley. Because one of the things to remember in the now is not all there is, because there is a then coming. The valley is not all there is, because there is a way that we are heading to. This right here is not the end of the story, because there is another better story that's coming. Blessed is the man who right here, he's finding his strength in the Lord, but in his heart, he's thinking about the ways of them and going to Zion. What you think about matters. That's why the Apostle Paul said to the church at Colossae, he says, you know, keep your mind on things above, not on things below. To the church of Philippi, he says, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of good report, admirable, worthy, think on these things. Because even though we're in the now, there's a then that's coming. And if you want to get through this valley of tears and the pain that you're experiencing, think on the then, because your current situation may be in the valley, but you can set your mind on God. And your mind might be racing right now, but your heart is set. Your soul might be aching, but your heart is set. Your emotions might be racing, but your heart is fixed towards God. And so greater is the one, while I'm in the here right now, greater is the one who is in me than my surrounding circumstances. Y'all follow me? Because his word is a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my path, because I'm on a pilgrimage. I'm on a journey. This is what verse 6 says, and I love this phrase. Who are passing through the valley of Baca, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. So let's kind of break that down a little bit, because who are passing through the valley of Baca? Because right now we may be in a valley. But like we said, the valley is not our destination. What are we doing? I'm just passing through. I might be in a valley right now, but this is not my home. I'm journeying to a place of peace, and I'm just passing through. My God is going to get me through this. David says something very similar in Psalm chapter 34, verse 4. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The valley of the shadow of death, that's not my final destination. I'm just passing through. I might be in a valley right now, but that's okay. I'm just passing through. I might be in a difficult time right now, but that's okay. I'm just passing through. I might be hurting right now, but that's okay. I'm not going to hurt forever. God's going to pull me through. I might be in a dark place, but I'm just passing through. I might be in the valley of Baca, but I'm just passing through. And who, when passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. And sometimes when you're in the make it the well, and sometimes when you're in the middle of it, you just want to get out, you know, you just want out. God, get me out. Make it go away. Make it stop. I don't want this anymore. Just take it away. I just want out. And what you have to realize is that sometimes God may show you that the way is through the valley, and not out of the valley. And this road, this way, this path is often through the valley, just passing through, just passing through. Who maketh a well, and the rain also will fill the pool. You know, I was talking about the valleys earlier in the message today. We talked about, you know, valleys of depression and valleys of desperation. One of the other things about valleys in the Bible, and this is good news, valleys are a time of replenishment too. and refreshment. Because it was in that passage in 2 Kings where God says, here's what I want you to do. You've been in the desert for 7 days. I want you to dig ditches because I'm going to make it rain. And sure enough, God supernaturally filled those ditches with water, made it rain, and the people were refreshed. And here's the thing about that. Oh, yeah, there's also another valley in the Bible. Everybody will remember this one, Ezekiel chapter 37, the valley of dry bones, right? Where the situation was so desperate that the Lord took the prophet Ezekiel on up, and he's kind of like doing this whirlwind 360, and what he sees is just this valley of a bunch of dry bones. I mean, apparently an army that had just been decimated and fallen in place, and it's just bone after bone after bone after bone. And yet the Lord says, here's what I want you to do. Can these bones live? And the prophet's like, I don't know. I mean, it's like bones, but you know, you're God. But these are bones, but you're God. You know, I'm not saying. He says, speak unto these bones. And he says, speak unto them and live. And then the spirit comes and the bone starts to connect, you know, knee bone to the thigh bone to the hip bone. It's all great. And then sinew starts to cover and they stand up as a living army. And then the word of God comes again and he breathes the breath of life into them. That's one of my favorite valleys in the Bible because it's such a perfect picture of what God does to a sinner who is dead in sins and trespasses. Because when you're dead in your sins and trespasses, you cannot accept, you cannot believe, you can't hear or understand the gospel. You are a dead sinner. And the Bible says, and you have he quickened who were dead in sins and trespasses. And when I read that, I'm always thinking about the valley of dry bones. So I got, you know, valleys, they represent tumult and trouble, but they also represent times of replenishment, times of refreshment, and times of revitalization that the Lord brings all in his own. Here's the thing. Whether or not you're going to have this valley of depression or a valley of replenishment, sometimes it's dependent upon you, and we preach grace in this church, but I need to preach to you that there are also some conditional blessings that we get by following God, because there are a lot of if promises in the Bible, the if promises of God. If you seek me, you will find me. Or, I stand at the door and knock. If anybody will open, I'll come into them and sup with them. If you seek, you will find. If you ask, I will answer. You got a lot of if promises in the Bible that are conditional upon a child of God who's a living, breathing child of God accessing by faith the grace wherein he stands. And this is one of those kind of situations right here. Set your minds on things above, not on things below, you know. Let's think about the good things here. Because, in other words, if you're in a dry place in the Valley of Baca, what do? Dig a well. Make a well. You take a clear, and you clear a little way, a little hole. It's a container for the provision of God. And God is essentially saying, man, you show me your faith, and I'm going to show you my faithfulness. If you dig it, I will fill it. If you prepare for me, I will show up. If you show me your faith, man, I'm going to show you my faithfulness. Jesus himself spoke about this kind of philosophy as well. There was in the New Testament, and there's a man with a withered hand, and instead of Jesus just saying, you're healed, what does he say? He says, stretch forth your hand. There was a man that hadn't walked in years and years and years. I think it was 38 years. And Jesus doesn't say, walk. He says, take up your mat and walk. In other words, get up. Let's go. He just doesn't all of a sudden start levitating. Jesus says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get up. It's all founded in grace, but to enjoy the benefits that required some obedience right there. So I don't know who this will speak to, but someone might need to hear this right now. If you dig it, he can fill it. If you plant it, he can grow it. If you pray it, he can hear it. If you ask it, he can give it. If you seek it, you can find it. If you knock, he can open. If you dig it, if you prepare, God can reveal himself. Because when you're in a dry place, when you're depressed, when you can't make sense of what's going on, when the world is just throwing left things left and right at you, I mean, people are coming at you like, what's going on? I mean, who is this blue noodle man? I don't know what's going on. But if you can prepare for the provisions and the presence of God, he comes. And I want you to think about this, because about preparing for the provision and the presence of God. Because if you think about this, some of us really need an encounter with God. And some of us right now in this congregation, I have no doubt, really want an encounter with God. You want to feel Him close. But God rarely reveals Himself to people that are going 75 miles an hour, right? Right? I should have gotten an amen on that one. I mean, can you imagine? Can you imagine Moses hopping in his Jeep, cruising through the desert, 75 miles an hour by the burning bush? Oh, take a picture of it, put it on Instagram. That'll be cool. The bush is burning. But God, that's not how God operated, right? The Lord's like, hey, why don't you stay a while? Why don't you take off your shoes, because you're on holy ground, and stay a while in my presence? Why don't you listen for my still small voice? So one of the things, and I know this happens in my own life, is that presence of God and knowing that peace of God, is I haven't really prepared myself, and I haven't throttled from fifth gear down to second gear or even first gear, or I haven't just stopped. Be still and know that I am God. Ooh, that's hard. That's hard. But I need to remember that blessed is the man whose strength is in the Lord. And blessed is the man whose strength is in the Lord and whose heart are the ways of them. And I need to remember that journey and that path that I'm going, who passing through the valley of Baca make it well, and the rain also filleth the pools, because, hey, we're being faithful to Him. He's going to bless us in our faithfulness. We can't reap what we sow. I mean, the Bible says that. And they go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. You know, I'm going from strength to strength, and it just they go from a little bit of strength to a little bit more strength to even more of God's strength to even more of His strength, and then a little more of His strength until we each appear before Zion. We'll just go from strength to strength to strength. And in my 20s, I was relying on the strength of God in ways I didn't know. In my 30s, I've relied on God in ways I didn't know. In my 40s, I'm relying on God in ways I didn't know. And in my 50s, I've just gone from strength to strength to strength and in different avenues and different respects. But at every time, I was relying on the strength of God. Sometimes not even knowingly. Sometimes He was just pulling me along and I didn't even know it. Sometimes He was carrying me and I wasn't even aware of it. And the Lord blesses me in my 60s and my 70s. I'm going to be going from strength to strength to strength. I don't know how He does it. I just know He does. He's so amazing. So I'm going to praise Him on the mountaintops, and I'm going to praise Him in the valleys, because I might enjoy Him on the mountaintops, but I'm really going to get to know God when I'm in the valleys. And right now, I know some of us might feel a little bit weak. You know, who is God? In the middle of my weakness, God's my strength. When you're in darkness, who is God? He's your light. When you're in a season of trouble, who is our God? He's our joy in times of trouble. When you're in the middle of pain, who is our God? He is our comforter in the middle of pain. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm going to fear no evil. Why? Because God is with me. His rod and His staff, they comfort me. Who is He? He's Emmanuel. He is God with us. You know, when Olivia and each of my children, but particularly Olivia, when she was a little bitty girl, age 2, 3, 4, sometimes 5, when we would watch our Disney movies, she'd plop on my lap in my left hand, and she'd watch a movie, and I'd have my arms a little wrapped around her. Those were great times. And when times got a little bit scary, like when Ursula would appear, you know, that scary octopus, and Olivia would get scared, she would just lean right into me. And I cannot tell you what that does to a father's heart. When their children lean into them and you can just wrap your big old bare arms around them and just bring them comfort. It just makes your heart melt. She leans into different arms now, and that's okay. But for a father to comfort a child in the valley of tears, and as imperfect as I am, imagine the joy that it brings your Heavenly Father when you lean into Him in those times of tears and pain. Don't turn. Don't blame. Lean into God. And I'll tell you how seriously God takes this. It's in 2 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 20, verse 28. And in 1 Kings chapter 20, verse 28, this is what happens. The Assyrians are attacking the people of Israel, and this is what God says. Because they have said, the enemy of God, because the enemy of God has said, I am the God of the hills and not of the valleys, I will utterly destroy them. God wants you to know that He's not only the God of your mountaintops when things are good, but God is the God of the valleys. And it's even better than that. He's the lily of the valleys. And if you go to Song of Solomon chapter 2, verse 1, it's not the lily of the valley. It's the lily of the valleys. Our God and our Jesus has been to every one of your valleys. In your pain, in your desolation, in your loneliness, in your fear, in your hurt, in the valley of the shadow of death, our God is God of that valley. And our Jesus has been there, and He is the lily of the valleys and the bright and morning star. I would encourage any of y'all that aren't following Him to follow Jesus. He's the Father whose heart swells, and when He wraps His arm, when you lean into Him, it brings Him great joy to comfort you in your time of sorrow.